save big money on plant protection supplies. Now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, 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 y'all. Welcome back to the Moms Talk Autism Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest with us. So sit tight and we will be back.
When you become a mom, you never imagine your child getting an autism diagnosis. It feels like your dreams have shattered, like a framed photograph falling off your mantle, exploding into a thousand pieces. But instead of trying to glue those pieces back together, this community of moms is here to help you build a new dream, a better one. So join in the conversation as us moms talk autism.
All right, all right, all right.
Okay, hello, Matthew.
Hello, 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 everybody. I mean, he is sexy. Come on.
I mean.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the show. Today, we do have a very, very, very special guest. I'm excited. I'm sure Shannon's excited, too.
I'm excited.
She's excited. It's just the two of us, just the two of us hosting today with this special guest. Shanny, Shan, Shan, say hi.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Hey.
Okay, guys. So this guest, we will get right into this. Her name is Eileen Youngberg. She is an incredible woman who is doing incredible work over at a nonprofit called Trillium Employment Services. Did I get that right,
yes,
Eileen?
Yes, you did. Thank you. Yes.
Say hello, Eileen.
Hi. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Yeah, we are excited. So lots of you out there have kind of had this question on your mind, or you've reached out to us and you've asked about different services. You know, currently, if you have a child who is younger and getting services from the state, whichever state you're in. But then also, like, what is the future possibly going to look like for your current child who will soon be a young adult, and employment, and what will that look like, etc. So we found this lovely lady, or did we find you?
You found or me. Did you find us?
Or did you find us?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what
a little
came
bit of
first.
Both.
Yeah. A little bit of both.
Social media is fun that way.
Yes. That is the great thing about social media, you guys. So she is from
Yakima, Washington.
Yakima, Washington. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get that right. Mm-hmm. I always forget. She's in the high desert.
Yes.
But Trillium is a nonprofit organization based just in Washington, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We're in Clark, okay. Pierce, Kitsap, King, and Yakima County.
Yeah. So all the major, mm-hmm. major counties. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just go ahead, Eileen, and tell us a little bit about you. Mm-hmm. Tell us about, you know, your family, your life, mm-hmm. Your sweet little baby.
Yeah. So I live in Yakima, Washington. I'm not really from here, but I'm at the point where I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else. So I think we could say I'm from here now. So that's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. My husband's a first responder. He's a paramedic. I was previously an EMT as well. So we have that part of our life, and we have two dogs. I have a little baby, Lucy, just had her this year. She's 8 months old. You know, and as far as hobbies and things like that, I don't have a lot of time on my hands anymore. So that's pretty much what my life consists of right now. But I do play.
Lucy is your hobby.
Yeah. Lucy mama time is my, when I have free time is what I do. But, you know, after she goes to bed, I'm trying to get better about doing things for me. You all talk a lot about working out on this podcast, and I kind of consider that a chore, but I'm trying to do it for the benefit of myself and my family. But then I also play the piano, so I'm trying to just make 15 minutes a day to do that right now to get my skills back up there.
Good for you. That is good, because we talk about self-care too, and that's probably something that brings you joy. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, so tell us then, how did you go from being an EMT to working for a nonprofit organization?
Yeah, so, I mean, there could be a whole podcast just about that. But, you know, my whole employment journey is something that, you know, I think makes me relatable to my clients, and I really relate to them because they're trying to figure out what their strengths are, where they belong. And I spent a really long time doing that, honestly, in my adult life. I went to a high school that really prepped me to go to a certain college, and I kind of had a strict mindset of what was going to happen in my life. And when that did not work out, that was really difficult for me. And now I know I have ADD, and that is why I struggled so much. But also, you know, I had to go to school full time and also work because I just didn't have, you know, those, I wasn't really set up to, didn't have that privilege. I still feel like I was very privileged. I went to a private school my whole life, things like that. But, I had to pay for school myself. So I went full time, would work full time, and then as a result would, not do well. So, I went for education and then, you know, in true ADD fashion, switched my major several times. So, decided I wanted to be a midwife, random, be a nurse. And then I kind of thought, all right, let's do something in the medical field while I'm trying to pursue this degree very slowly, and became an EMT. And then during that time, my husband got promoted, and, you know, no one really wants to be managed by their partner. So I left our mutual company we were working for, and I went per diem with another company. And that freed me up to do something else full time. And I found a job in ABA. And
okay, that's
And also backing up, when I was in college, the first year, I also worked in a group home. So when I was working in the group home, that was actually a company that used to be a pretty well-known institution in Wisconsin. And they had a pretty dark history that they're very open about. And that was really eye-opening for
Are
me.
You so really, really quickly, yeah. Eileen, is that where you're from originally, is Wisconsin?
I'm actually not really from anywhere.
I'm from everywhere.
Yeah. I have a dad who was in the military, a stepdad who worked for a church network. But I went to a boarding school in Wisconsin. So that's really what put me there. Okay. Yeah. But at that group home, it was like a network of group homes in a neighborhood. It used to be a big institution, and people would actually send their children who had disabilities on a train with a tag that had the name of this institution on it, like way, way back in the day, way, way back. So it was very eye-opening to me. I was like 18 years old and just learning about how people with disabilities used to be treated. It was heavy. It was heavy. And
I'm just like kind of brain exploding head emoji thing right now, because it's like I feel like you hear about these kinds of things, but to hear it so close to, you know, especially like you hear about this still happening in other countries, you know, but wow, just to hear in right here in USA and
in the early 1900s, people would just even a baby, they would put a baby in the box with a tag on it and that said the name of this institution and put them on the train. And people knew when they got to that stop, they would take that person off the train and bring them to the front doorsteps of this institution. Yeah.
So,
So it was really eye-opening for me. You know, I was a young adult and I just thought, wow, I had no idea. And so at the time, what they were doing was really cutting edge, I guess. They had these houses that were integrated in neighborhoods, which is really good. And I worked in a house that had five adult women living in it. And it was really a joy to work with them. I really liked it. I'm just the type of person that you put me in a situation and I just put my head down and take the instruction and do it. And looking back on it, they gave me a lot of responsibility for a young adult. I was, you know, getting these women up in the morning, helping them get ready for their quote unquote job, which we'll get to, but also, you know, loading them up into this small bus and they had wheelchairs and I had to, you know, secure the wheelchairs. And thinking back on it, I'm like, I don't even drive in for like a year. That's crazy. They just gave me that. Here's the keys.
Like I had zero credentials for this.
Oh no.
For this job.
Oh, absolutely none. It was wild.
And really quickly, Eileen, were they ranging in disabilities in the sense from everything from physical to mental disabilities?
Intellectual disabilities was something had.
Intellectual. Yes.
Yeah. They all had an intellectual disability, but there was a very wide range of the supports they needed. So I had a couple women who would get up and they'd help me with breakfast. And then I had a few women who I was full care. I mean, I had to help lift them with a Hoyer lift and get them in and out of the shower. And so, the ratio was 1-5, which is now I know really not ideal. So I was just doing what I could do.
You guys, you can't see her, but Eileen's little.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
That is so funny. I was littler then. I mean, I was like 60 pounds less. I mean, seriously, I had no strength. I don't know how I did that. Looking back on it, I have no idea. So, they actually all worked at the same place. They worked in a workshop. So I would take them to work in the morning. And they did things like making fire starters. And then those fire starters would be sold in this company's store. And then the money would go back to the company. So unfortunately, I really don't know how much they were paid, if that work was fulfilling for them. But at the time I thought, oh, great, they have a job. That's so great. And now knowing what I know now and doing what I do, I think, I don't know if that was the best thing. So it was just really eye-opening, you know, and it was at the time it was just a job. And then I actually moved to Washington for family. So then I just had to find something else and decided to be an EMT. So thought I wanted to be a nurse. So I was an EMT in the field and then, you know, was a EMT per diem also in the field and was working in ABA. And that was the first time I worked with someone who used an AAC device. So that was also really eye-opening as well, working with kiddos, both in a clinic setting and in their home.
So how did you, what was that transition to, did you know anything about ABA or, I mean, you just, I'm going to walk into the center and.
I left the job at the ambulance company that we were at just because my husband transitioned into leadership. But I just thought, you know, I've worked with people with disabilities. Let's look for something like that I can do during the day. And so sometimes I would be working in ABA during the day and I would go pick up a night shift on the ambulance. So it's kind of a wild time doing just two very different things and kind of learning what I was more interested in at that time. But working in ABA was really eye-opening. And even though I know it's controversial and obviously you too do as well, but the fundamentals of behavior are really what I took away from that, in addition to really seeing what the struggles are for the parents, you know, the parents that are working full time. And, you know, what I do now allows those parents to dream about their kids' futures. But when they're way back in that phase of childhood and just trying to figure out services and all those things, there's
early
no time
in
for
the journey. Yeah. Yes.
There's no time
in the trenches. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You all know.
So what did you do? What did you do in Shannon knows all the lingo. I don't, because we Jack never did ABA services, but what was your, Shannon, what is it? RBT?
Were you, what was your role? Were you an RBT? Is that what you were?
Yeah, I was a behavior tech. Yeah. I still actually have that credential. Okay. So I was a behavior tech. So I was the person who carried out the plans written by the BCBA. So I'm working more directly with the children, either in the clinic or in their home, and figuring out different ways to help them communicate their needs. So it was, and it was all positive. I feel really lucky. I don't think I would have been able to do that if it wasn't positive reinforcement. I've heard things about other ABA clinics that aren't like that. So
there's good and bad of everything, I think.
Yeah.
Yes,
so was this kind of the little spark then for that kind of lit a little fire in you that said, this is what I wanted. I want to do something in this realm. I want to work with.
So yes and no, still no. So I still just felt like, okay, I have to be a nurse. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to follow through on something. We moved to Yakima again, needed a job. My grandma had a stroke. It's part of the reason why we moved here. The hospital is hiring. So I went and worked in the emergency room as a EMT in the emergency room. So, and that was in 2019. So we know what happened next after that.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. But in the emergency room, I kind of became the person people would call when they had someone, like a patient that had a developmental disability. Because there's really no time in emergency situations to help them explain what they need, help them communicate. There's not a lot of tools in that setting. And one patient that really stood out to me, without, any identifying things, so I'll keep it really vague, but a pediatric patient that for a lot of reasons did not have a parent with them. They were actually found unattended in the community. Oh, yikes. So, I was with them for my entire shift, and this child clearly had no experience interacting with other people, had no tools to communicate at all. And they were unfortunately impacted by a substance that day as well. They had been exposed to a substance that basically made it impossible for them to control any of their physical behaviors or emotions or anything like that. So I was just supporting them with the very limited supplies and resources that I had. I mean, and they had superhuman strength that day, pulled the sink out of the wall. I had to empty the whole room of all the furniture except the mattress to keep them from hurting themselves, and then just let a lot of things go. I was like, color on the walls, I don't care. Color on the floor. I don't care. I mean, I had my phone. I was like shamelessly using my phone with Netflix as like positive reinforcement, because I'm just like 12 hours trying to find a solution for this child. And it was just so sad to me. And we were in the height of the pandemic. So, gowns, masks, everything. And I just thought, this isn't sustainable. This isn't, this isn't working. We need resources. And I think I'm more of a person to find resources for people than to just be grinding for 12 hours. And I also didn't realize, I think at the time, what I was really looking for and lacking in my job was innovation. And even nurses are smart, and there are nurses who can be innovative, but generally speaking, nurses take orders. And I didn't know that until I worked in that setting. And I'm so glad I did, because I learned, after a while, that gets really old for me. Like, I need to innovate. I need to be creative. And that was something I was lacking. So that's really what sparked it. And I looked back at my time in ABA and thought, man, I loved that. I loved going to work every day and thinking of new ways to help people communicate. And I think I need to get back to that. So that's really when I looked for something new. And I did look at EBA jobs. I wasn't really happy with the options locally, so I looked for something else, and thankfully I found Trillium. Literally on Indeed. I had never heard of this type of work. So I had to do a lot of research and a lot of learning, but I'm so grateful that I found this position, because it's just perfect for me. I choose it. I choose to be here and be a part of it.
Yeah, I love it. And so it kind of paint a little bit of a picture for the people out there who may not know what Yakima is like in the context of the type of area you're in, and then to just, you know, with kind of the innovation and what you guys are setting up in Yakima with Trillium.
Yeah. So Yakima, you know, on the medical side, you would consider it, you know, if you have a medical background, I would consider it rural medicine. So there is one hospital. There used to be two, right when I started in the emergency room, the other one closed. So very much lack of resources in every way. So and that includes what we do at Trillium. I would say that's part of the reason why we were asked to come to Yakima, is because there was capacity, there was a need. And you know, that is not unique to just our field. There's a lot of needs in Yakima. There's a lot of unmet needs, and you know, we love it here. We choose to stay here, but Yakima gets a bad rep for sure. If you, you know, do a little research, you'll find a lot of like
and
bad
news. And it's a rural area. It's a rural, you know, and it's a lot of agriculture and that kind of thing. So, definitely not a, you know, super, super city, you know, kind of situation. So that just a little bit to paint the picture of, because, you know, Trillium obviously being a nonprofit organization across, you know, Washington State, there are areas that Trillium is in that are, it's booming, you know, up in the, you know, Pierce County is a huge area.
So King County
tell us,
too.
Go ahead and King County. And then even just Clark County where I'm over where I'm at. Tell us a little bit about, Trillium. Tell us, you know, just give us the backstory on them.
Yeah. So, we actually just celebrated 40 years in service this year. That's what we're celebrating. Really exciting. So we're new in Yakima, but we're not new in general. We've been around through this revolution, from sheltered workshop employment, from subminimum wage employment. I don't know if you all are aware that people with disabilities, used to make under minimum wage. That was legal until, I believe, 2 years ago. So that was, kind of unbelievable.
That's insane.
And there still are some group employment opportunities for people with disabilities. We really encourage and only support people in individualized employment. Integrated in the community, but even group employment now has to pay people minimum wage. So,
I mean, of course, should be a given.
That is
definitely, there's a lot of things in our world.
Yeah.
And in this country where I think people don't recognize that, you know, these shady things are happening and,
So, and at Trillium, our values are to equip, listen, improve. And part of doing that has been, being really involved in legislation. So we were heavily involved in, the bills that were passed to end subminimum wage. And then just last year, we were part of a bill that passed community inclusion alongside of employment services. So people used to have to choose, do you want support being involved in your community or do you want support working in your community? And they could not get support doing both. Now
it just goes to show that we still have a long,
we do
so long,
a long ways to go, you know, like I think a lot of, and I don't want to say our audience, but just, you know, everybody out there, we think that, you know, just because we see, you know, wheelchair accessible, because we see this, you know, that it's equal across the board for everybody, that they're and it's just and it's just not.
Yeah. And we promote inclusive communities through employment. And part of how we do that is addressing that accessibility is just a part of inclusion. Accessibility is a small part of inclusion, actually. So that gets people, you know, accessibility gets people through the door. But then what?
Yeah.
You know, so we want them included fully in their community. So for us, that looks like employment. How are they included in their place of employment?
Okay. Yeah. So what is your exact position then with Trillium?
So in Yakima, I'm the assistant program manager. I actually just moved into that role. But we are such a small team in a small county. We have 15 clients right now, some in the hopper, maybe more soon. We have 15 clients. It's just me, my program developer, and we just hired a new employment consultant. But because we are so small, I get to still work as an employment consultant as well. So I do the leadership things. So I oversee staff. I oversee the big picture items in our program, but I also still get to do the work, which is great. Mm-hmm. So I still get to work with our clients. So the employment consultant role does a lot of things. So we work with the individuals that we serve. So people who have intellectual disabilities and help them discover what they want to do in life, what they want to do for work, and assess their skills and then help them actually find the job. So there's some tangible items there, you know, just filling out applications for them. Those are kind of accommodations that we provide. But then advocating for working interviews. Maybe they present better in the workplace doing the job rather than talking about it. Maybe verbal communication isn't their first, their strongest point, things like that. And then we work with the employers long term. So we help them figure out what does it look like to hire someone with a disability and what does it look like to include them in your staff.
Okay. Yes. And so this is when we are speaking in the context of, you know, people aging out of the school, quote unquote, school program.
Yes.
So which is usually what I believe it's 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most districts or all districts, is it, I'm assuming, have that. Transition programs. Yes. And then, so are they kind of, then are the parents kind of coming to you or, you know, are most of these people, do they have, you know, like in state of Washington, DDA services? What does that look like?
Yeah. So it is true. They, people with intellectual disabilities are legally, allowed to stay in school until they're 21. We really encourage parents when we get a chance to talk to them when they have younger kids to plan on that because that gives them more time to develop those skills while they still have all of those services. So, and it depends on the district whether or not they truly have a formal transition program. Unfortunately, there are school districts that have less funding and the students are technically in transition, but they're really just still in the same classroom, like the self-contained classroom or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So we are really lucky in Yakima. There are some schools that have really good transition programs that have work sites and their students are more out of the classroom than in. That's really how it should be when you're in transition, going out to different businesses and trying out different job skills and developing those soft skills as well. There are counties where we work with the students while they're in transition. There's different programs that we can work through, like a program called School to Work. We do that in King and I believe Pierce County, where we go into the schools and work with the students there. In Yakima, we use a program called Job Foundations to work with students who are in their second year of a transition program. And we get to observe them. And then we give that report to the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation that basically says, hey, this person is employable. Here's all the reasons why. And then here's the things that they might need support with so that when they get out of their transition program, they have more of a pathway to employment that's more direct.
Yeah.
But
which is so incredible. That's how, I mean, that's how it should be across the board in every state and district. And you would think that that's what we would be wanting to do to, you know, make everything, every transition easier for people.
Definitely.
So you are meeting with, okay, well, let me back up real quickly.
It's a lot of content.
So So as a mom to a special needs kiddo in the state of Washington and not having, Jack does not have DDA services. We've never even applied for it. So I don't know if we would qualify or we wouldn't qualify. Let's say we do not qualify and we're getting to the age of, you know, getting into the transition program through the Camas School District. what does that look like for us?
Okay. So
let's say Jack cannot, you know, we know we need services like Trillium.
So first of all, I would highly, highly encourage every parent who has a child with an intellectual disability to apply for DDA services early and often, as early and as often as possible, because that just opens up so much funding for you, so many resources for you. But you're so right that not everyone qualifies for it. Yeah. And there are some people that I've seen that I thought, oh, wow, they could really use that. And they kind of fell through the cracks, you know? So I try to really encourage, and we're trying to target and give information to parents as young as possible to do that while their kids still have access to the school system, because then they can get, you know, the psychologist there can do the assessments, and it's a lot easier on the parents when the schools can help them. But yes, there are people that even if they've done all of that, they don't qualify. So then an option is the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. So, and that is short-term funding. So let's say it's Jack. Right, your son. Let's say Jack's 21-year-old and he's exiting a transition program. You can apply with Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, and we can do something called a community-based assessment. That's probably what we would start with. So we would find a few job sites to work with him at, to assess his skills in areas of his interest, and then we could move forward with the job placement plan after that, so we could work with him to find employment. The unfortunate part about that is that then there's no long-term services. So after we help him, you know, get all the tools he needs, and we really work hard to set up something sustainable with the employer, then we do have to back out after that. So,
So how does that look for the business side of it? Because you know, getting onto your guys's website. It's incredible. My mind was blown by how many, you know, different businesses in every county, you know, especially like even just in Clark County, where I, like I said, where I'm at, how many businesses are part of this program, and employ, you know, people with intellectual disabilities. It's so incredible. So what does it look like though for assessing a person and they're not fitting into any of these business categories, but they are fitting into this, and you know this place, and you do what? Is it you guys, Trillium walks into the business and you say, let's partner up. Let us teach you how. Is that how it kind of works?
Yeah. So it, and you know, it's different. It's very person-centered for each case. It's very person-centered and business-centered. So we have had businesses approach us that say, hey, you know, I do want to hire a more diverse workforce. I don't know how to do that. Can you help me? And of course, yes, we have done, you know, hiring processes with businesses without necessarily a client in mind for that business. So just help them diversify their workforce. Sometimes the answer to that is one of our clients. Sometimes it's not. But we are all about creating inclusive workforces, whether or not it means right away that a job placement is a part of that. And then also, you know, especially right now when I have, you know, a caseload of people that the majority of them are looking for a job, I'm going out to businesses with client needs and their desires for what they want to do in mind. So I do cold call businesses. I do build relationships with businesses through networking events. And then, yeah, part of it is just walking to the business and saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Have you ever thought about it? Can we talk more? That's how we have created a lot of great partnerships, actually.
Well, yeah, I'm like, you're looking at, I mean, you know, some of the bigger ones, Starbucks, REI, you know, Home Depot, Nordstrom's, that is so, to me, that's a given, right? You know, like, why would major corporations like that not want to be, you know, inclusive, with their employment? But, some of the smaller businesses that may not even recognize, you know, that they can get the funding, correct? Is there funding that they can get for, having these programs in their business?
I think that there are, so there are some tax refund type programs,
right,
but okay. The main motivation usually is not necessarily money for the employers.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of it has to do with getting certain jobs done. So a lot of employers actually have a gap in their ability to staff. So maybe there's something that just routinely is not getting done, or someone is having to take time away, like a manager is having to take time away from what they're doing to fill this need. And that's something that one of our clients can just come in and do and have that be their entire job. So it really depends on the business. I mean, that's a small, I would say the money is a small part of it. But it's more about diversifying their workforce. You know, for retail and restaurants and places like that, that are very customer facing, the customers love that. The customers love that representation. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we're seeing more and more, that, you know, being kind is cool now, you know, being kind is trendy, you know, including people is trendy. So really it only helps a business to be more inclusive and to have more of an inclusive workforce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, across the board, if we're segregating and not having diversifying our portfolio, mm-hmm. as we like to say, it's you know, you're losing business, and you're losing, you know, you're kind of losing your face value, really, mm-hmm. if you know, because more and more it is part of our communities. It's part of our population. It's you know, mm-hmm. I think that is so awesome. Shannon, I'm sorry. I'm just totally over here.
No, you're okay. So my internet has been so crazy. So I've been waiting for a pause because I didn't want to interrupt. But since my Wi-Fi is working again, just a few things. First off, why would they not just want to be good humans and good companies? First off,
Of course.
And then it's funny hearing you like say some of their, my fries here, and I won't say his name because privacy purposes, but my fries, whatever, Kroger, Fred Meyer, whatever it is, they do inclusive hiring.
I mean, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
French fries?
Yeah.
I really wasn't sure.
Different names, wherever they are.
Yeah, we've got
here it's fries flavor. Food. But they do inclusive hiring, and one of my all-time favorite baggers.
Yes.
He has an intellectual disability, and he is the happiest, most fun human. And I always get so excited when I get in his line. So there's that. Yeah. But then I do have to say, just before my Wi-Fi does whatever it's doing again, that it's so nice to talk to you, because it's nice to hear from somebody who is passionate and excited about this type of work. I think you can get really kind of bogged down, like, in the wheels of this life, in the turnover, in the therapies, in, I mean, you worked as an RBT, so great RBTs are life-changing, and it's very hard to find humans like that. So anyway, I think it can just get, you get in this rut where things are hard and things are hard, so I just want to thank you, because you're like, you're helping to restore the faith that there are really good humans that are doing this because it's their passion and it's something that they care about, not something that they just found themselves in to like pay the bills.
Yeah. And that's especially to say that you didn't say what your previous with, if you'd ever had any experience with like a family member or anything like that, or just growing up being in boarding school with anybody that had any kind of, you know, disability, whether it be intellectual or physical. But there's something to say for people, again, like Shannon said, people like you who really just, it is your passion, you know, and you want to change the world. You want to make the difference. You know?
Well, and I think too, like, nobody else can see your face, and I'm sure they can hear it in your voice because that's obvious, but another reason we need to start recording video on podcasts, but like, you light up. Maybe. I know nobody wants to see us when we record podcasts, but you do look really pretty, but we always show up looking like train wrecks because we're not recorded. But you light up, and like, you have this smile on your face, and it's like your excitement is contagious. And so I just wanted to point that out it's kind of like when you hear stories about kids being super awesome at school, and it's sort of like,
yeah,
oh, like, okay, it gives me a little bit of faith as to what my kid's going to grow up into. And our kids need more people like you. Like this, this is what our kids need, because how else are they going to turn into these, you know, functioning adults, you know, and it's companies like yours.
Well,
and so parents need that, you know, and I see that. I've seen that from working with parents at the younger age, and I see that from working with parents now. I mean, we have parents that really just enrolled in our program because their DDA case manager said they should, you know, and they say, you know, we'll give this a try, but I don't know if so-and-so can work. I don't really think that that's possible. I'm like, all right, that's okay. Like that, let's start there. Why is that? Why do you think that? What are the barriers that you see? I value your input into your child's life. You know them better than anyone else. What are the barriers? What are the complexities that you see your adult child dealing with? And how can I help with that? Something else that another role that I have at Trillium is a positive behavior support specialist. So kind of leaning into that background from behavior tech. It's a specialized training. So I can consult with people across Trillium, but I mostly use it with my own clients and help them access what they need at work, help them build those relationships with people at work through positive communication supports. So I've seen a lot of great results with that. And I've gotten great feedback from employers too, that they see in our clients so much improvement from when they start, from when they meet them. I have this incredible young woman that I've gotten to work with, and she actually started with DVR funding, so that short-term funding, and she was one of the people I just thought, bummer that she doesn't have long-term funding, because she is good on her own. We got her into a business, and she was doing really well, and I felt good about the stabilization report and all those things, but I just, first of all, I just was sad to not work with her anymore. She's just such a joy. But also, I just thought there's, you know, to not only continue to do well at work, but what's next for her? You know, how can she advance? And we actually were able to help her family, help her apply for DDA services. She got those services and she's back. We get to work with her. So awesome. And she still has her same job and she just does so well. Seeing her from the beginning, when I met her, she wasn't working. We got her a first job at a small business and it just wasn't quite enough for her. So we, you know, started over, found something new. Her confidence is incredible. Just, and her communication skills. She's friends with people at work. She trains new employees, neurotypical employees. She completely trains them. She could train me. I mean, I don't even fully understand her job anymore because she's, you know, she'll tell me about it, you know, and I watch what she's doing. And she explains it to me. I'm like, man, this is actually really complicated. What you do with this business is very complicated, but she trains new people and those communication skills are just incredible. Just seeing her blossom has been so amazing. And that's what I want, you know, and that's what I want parents to know is possible. And starting early, often, talking about employment with your kids, assuming competence at home, giving them responsibility at home, and finding all of the resources. I know it's so hard because there's so much on your plate, but finding as many resources as you can when your kids are in school to always be thinking employment. Even if they end up not wanting to be employed after going through the process, think employment from a young age, just like you would with any of your kids. What do you want to be when you grow up? And if the answer is, I want to be a veterinarian. Okay, how can we get them involved with walking dogs, taking care of the cats, you know, going to the zoo and learning all the medical terminology or something like that. I mean, think about, you know, doing Latin with them or whatever it is that helps them get into their interest. Do that with them from a young age.
Just like you would with a neurotypical child, you know. Shannon.
I'm raising my hand because I have two questions because I will forget. So two things. One is that going back to what you said about how, you know, I know that you guys have so much on your plates and I know, and we do, like, there is so much on our plates, but I think part of that is we have to fight for everything we need, right? So there's that portion of it. And then you talk about how sometimes you'll get parents in the program and they're like, yeah, I don't really think this is going to work, but I guess we'll give it a shot. And I think that sort of goes back to, I think for the most part, you know, we are our children's biggest advocates. And like, if anybody believes in our kids, it's us. But it goes back to that, so many things on the plate, having to fight for everything, that sometimes we as parents need someone else to believe in our kids. And that is enough, right? To like help push us through. And I'm getting emotional because I'm 4 days out from my period. So I'm so sorry. I like turned 40 and like now every time I'm close to my period, I just want to cry about everything.
You guys, just, we keep it real. Okay. Shannon's going to be.
It's fine. I'm just going to cry. It's, we don't record, so I'm going to ugly cry. So anyways, it's just important, I think, one, for parents to be willing to maybe give things a shot, that even if they don't think it's going to pan out, it may be worth it. But it may just be that human on the other end who does believe that is enough. And I think that that's really important. And then two, we're going to have listeners who heard everything that you just said about how talking employment to our kids and asking them what they want to be when they grow up, just like we did, you know, with our neurotypical kids. But we're going to have audience members who say, but my kid doesn't talk. So we're going to have that. So maybe we can discuss that and maybe what that looks like if we do have kiddos who are non-speaking or who use, like Gracie has an AAC device, you know? So can we maybe talk that a little bit too?
Oh, definitely. So Shannon, you're probably really familiar with preference assessments with your kids doing ABA therapy, but you know, there's plenty of ways to communicate with your child about what they're interested in. You probably already know what your child is interested in. And then we could build off of that. Do they love fire trucks? Well, why can't they work on a fire truck? You know, and you think, okay, well, they don't speak, they don't read, so they couldn't be a firefighter. Okay, maybe a firefighter would be a little too much. But for example, we do have someone who works for an ambulance company with Trillium, supported by Trillium. They do the stocking of all the ambulances. They're like the very meticulous type of person. But they love that. They love that environment. They love that kind of, you know how EMS is too, in the firehouse type of laid back environment. So you could just start with what they like. So if, you know, maybe they like being outside, or consider their, you know, you could consider their, what you would think is a barrier. So what would be some of their needs that you are always considering? Their sensory needs. So we could think about work environments where they would work best in because of those barriers, because of those needs. So when people come to me and say, oh, my son or daughter doesn't speak, they don't use, you know, verbal communication, and they don't like to talk to other people, they don't like to make eye contact, and they always have to wear headphones. Cool. I will find them a place to work where that is ideal, you know? So even if it's not, maybe they don't have a special interest, and maybe they've never really thought about what they want to be when they grow up, because that's a little bit too broad of a concept for them. We could even start with the barriers, start with the complexities that they deal with on a daily basis, and then curate a job based on that. So where is a place that you can feel included and valued, and, a business that could use your skills, and you'd be comfortable all day.
Cool. I'm thinking,
and that takes a while.
Tosh, I'm thinking that, well, one, we need to move to Camas. Like, I'm already trying to tell Jay we have to have a vacation home in Camas. I'm going to get licensed there. It's going to be fine. Then Tyler can create a job for Gracie at his firehouse, because as you were saying that, Eileen, I'm like, oh my God, could you imagine the sensory heaven that Gracie would have in a firehouse, first off? And then she loves water. So we'll like put her, she can like wash all the vehicles. She can just wash everything and she can be in sensory heaven. So just put a bug, Tosh, in Tyler's ear.
In Tyler's.
And then she and Jack are going to get married. So it's fine. It'll all be good.
Oh, that's a great idea, though. I love that. And that's part of what we do, is we create jobs that there's no listing for sometimes. That's part of the fun innovative work that we get to do, creating jobs based off of the individual's strengths and needs and the business needs as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now the firefighters actually get to take a break and they don't have to wash the trucks
anymore. Mm-hmm. So awesome. Have fun, be creative, talk to your kids, and just pay attention to what they love.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like, you know, we don't have to have the spoken word in order to see what, you know, the love that we feel between each other or everything, how proud we are, or even just to pick up on those small things of, you know, what their interests are, what they love to do, their hobbies, et cetera.
You know,
and how incredible is it, Eileen, to have for us as special needs parents to walk into a business and have our young kiddos right now see, you know, somebody that's maybe similar to them working and doing the things like, you know, it's what is your guys's, you were telling me yesterday, I'm sorry. All I can think of is Culture Cities making never's impossible or making,
We believe everyone
never's
can work.
Impossible. Yes, we believe everybody can work. Yeah. I love it. See, it's yes, that is so. Mm-hmm.
There's a place for everyone.
They can. There is a place for everybody at the table.
There
absolutely is.
Yeah, there is a place for everyone. And, you know, for some people, it might take a little bit longer to find them the ideal place. And that's okay. And you know what I tell parents? It took me a long time to find my job too.
Yes.
It took me a lot of hard experiences, you know, finding out that, like, you know, working in the ER was kind of ideal for ADD on a daily, on a daily grind. But it was not ideal for self-actualizing, you know, as I got older, realizing big picture, what am I good at? What do I love? And we can help someone find a first job. And then that might not be their job forever also, you know, so it's okay if the first job doesn't work out, or it's okay if it takes a while for them to find a place where they belong, because it takes us all a little bit of time to find a place where we belong.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible how it just changed, like, your perspective of life and what you should and shouldn't be doing, et cetera. It just changed you as a person, you know, oh, I have to be this nurse and I have to, you know, it's like now you're in, you know, a field that's completely opposite and you are you are loving it. You know, it is your where you're meant to be. It's your place.
I'm gonna make my oldest listen to this episode.
Yes. Do you have someone launching right now?
Do what? I'm sorry.
What's that?
Do you have a child that's launching right now?
So I have a almost 18-year-old. And she, I'm going to make her listen to this, so I'm going to be careful what I say, but she has always had it in her head that she wants to do something in the medical field. She's thinking about going to nursing school. So I'm not going to have her listen to it because you were like, nursing is horrible, but I want her to listen to it because I want her to realize, you know, everything you went to and then what you ended up in is completely not where you started, and that's okay. And I think sometimes we can get really down on the fact that the life that we had planned for our kids is not the life that we're living, whether they're neurotypical or not. And like, I'm 40 and I just, like, in the last 2 years feel like I've, like, figured out what I'm supposed to be doing. So why are we feeling like these neurodivergent kids at 21 should be like doing the thing that they should do? It's like, it took me twice that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I think a lot of this just having this conversation, it's breaking down those barriers of what we, the societal view that we have, whether, again, you're neurodivergent or you're neurotypical, you know, there isn't this, things have to be done this way, you know, there is always room for change and improvement and mistakes, et cetera. So,
And I think that all the experience you can give your kids is so valuable. I mean, you know, like I said, I thought you needed to go to high school and then college and then get this job and then stay in it forever. And that is just not, more and more especially, how it works for everyone. And then we think because these kids are in these young adults are in extended high school services, you know, they're in a transition program, we kind of overthink it. Like, oh no, now what? What are they going to do? And just like, just do what everyone else does. Just figure it out, you know, and they just need a little extra support to do that. And that's what we're here for, to help them be successful in that. And Yeah.
Really okay. Can you now open a location in Pima County, Arizona, yeah. please? Can you put that as the next tick box, pretty please? Just
you're in Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tucson, Arizona.
So that is kind of the hard thing about with our audience, because everybody yeah. mm-hmm. is in a different location, different state, mm-hmm. sometimes even just a different country. So, you know, Trillium is based, you know, they're nonprofit based in Washington state. Mm-hmm. But yes. with that being said, mm-hmm. what is your education with somebody in a different state? Where would they kind of mm-hmm. start to maybe look for a nonprofit similar to Trillium? Mm-hmm.
So I would always start with your school. So if you have a child who's in school, advocate mm-hmm. With their IEP meetings and things like that mm-hmm. to set goals towards employment. You can start doing that at a very young age. And that's not always brought up. So start bringing it up at those IEP meetings. How can we think about employment? And if they say, well, your kid's 12, why are you thinking about that? Just explain to them, I know it's a long road, and I want to start learning about what the resources are in my local area for employment. And they mm-hmm. have to help you with that, actually. So mm-hmm. if they don't, advocate for it. And same with if you're in ABA services and you're working with a BCBA, they know how to help your child work towards employment. So having one of the mm-hmm. goals have to do with employment, at least when they're young. And then when you have an adult and you're working towards DDA services, getting qualified for those services, asking the DDA case manager about what locally, what employment supports there are. Mm-hmm. And I know that Washington's not unique. Washington is a leader, I have to say. So if you look into your local resources and you don't find something this wonderful, I'm so sorry, because Washington is a leader in the U.S.
Kind of the trailblazers.
Yeah. But advocate and look into your local resources using your DDA case manager. That is their job. And that's what they want to help with, is helping you find resources.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, Eileen, this has been so incredible. You are a joy.
Thank you.
Cannot say enough. You guys, even if you are not from the state of Washington, mm-hmm. please get on and look up Trillium Employment Services mm-hmm. and just check out what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Check out, you know, see what they're doing and then find that in your area, because mm-hmm. it is pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Eileen, like I said, it has been a joy. How do we find you? How do we find Trillium?
Yeah, so the best place to find Trillium is at the website, www.trillium.org. We also are on social media, so you can follow us and see all of our fun success stories. I think everyone should follow Trillium yes. on Instagram, because right now we're sharing our 40 years, 40 stories. And that's just a great way to get perspective from the employers, from the parents, from the consultants. Get to learn a lot about us. We're on YouTube as well. You can find me at Eileena Speaks on Instagram. I mostly repost inclusive, equitable content, but you know, maybe you'll see some original stuff there someday. You don't know. Really into open future.
When you're out of the crazy little baby phase.
Yes.
And maybe not.
Yeah, definitely. I repost a lot of Trillium and open future learning. I love that one. So we repost a lot of that. But yeah, follow us on Instagram. You know, see what there is to see.
We'll make sure
us a call if you want services.
And we'll make sure that we link all of this yes. in the
and
notes.
We will be, this isn't the last time. We are going to have you on when this launches, you know, so we will bring you on to the Instagram page.
Cool.
So for any of you out there who are wondering how to find us other than the podcast player that you are listening on, you can find us at Instagram at Moms Talk Autism. And then Shannon, what is our email?
Hello@momstalkautism.com.
Why can I not remember?
I don't know. Unless you're going to complain, and then I'll give you a different email.
Yeah, Shannon's got all the really good emails if you want to complain. With that being said, thank you, everybody. Do not forget to get on and give us a 5-star review. Write a written review if you can do that on your podcast player. And it just helps us to reach a larger community, to bring more people into our community and have more incredible guests like Eileen and Trillium on. All right, girls, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
That is all.
That is all.
That is it. Say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.